Amen. Well, take your Bible tonight. Turn to 1 Samuel chapter 21. This goes on your belt. I have a belt on. I just can't see it. I found it by faith. Amen. Amen. 1 Samuel 21. It is a blessing to be here. I'm glad I'm saved. I'm glad I'm part of this bunch. Amen. We make no bones about it. We are King James Bible believers. And that puts us in a strange category. And then we're old-time, old-fashioned Bible believers. And we believe in the local church. Amen. We're not briders. We don't believe in any kind of weird doctrine. Amen. We're against Steven Anderson and all that bunch. Amen. Some of them were here. We wouldn't think twice about whooping the daylights out of them. Amen. Some of us are not bishops, so we're allowed to be strikers. Amen. But thank God for our crowd, and I can speak on behalf of my esteemed colleagues. Amen. And I don't know, maybe some of you young guys are watching these men when they come in and us come in and all. We don't deserve to be here. We don't deserve to be saved in church, and God has been good to us. And I don't know why, folks. I don't know why, young fellers. I don't know why he uses guys like us, but he does. And probably so he gets all the honor and all the glory out of it. Amen. Because if anything good happens here, it's got to be him. Amen. So tonight, quickly here tonight, I want to preach about David. And I love David in the Bible. David is my guy. Amen. David killed Goliath. Amen. Now you do know that, right? I was in Chicago, and I know some of y'all have heard me tell this over and over, and I'm limited on the stories that I have. Amen. And I've told them so much, it's like Brother Jack said, I've got them slicker than a rat's tail now. Amen. But I was preaching in Chicago about David and Goliath, and a guy come up to me after church, and he says, you have offended me. Now, first of all, I don't know what you say to that. I mean, a grown man, amen, I ain't never had a preacher offend me. Amen. I've been jabbed at. I've been poked at. Amen. I've had skinny preachers preach against fat preachers. Amen. I never got offended. Amen. I just felt sorry for them. They don't know. The glorified body may be 300 pounds. You don't know. You have no idea. Amen. But he come to me, and I'm like, what do you mean I offended you? Come here. I don't know what to say to that. He said, you were talking about David and Goliath. He said, are you advocating violence? I said, hey, man. David killed Goliath. He sunk a rock in his head. Amen. He sunk it and it sunk in his head. Then he jumped on top of him, took his own sword and hacked his head off. Can you get much more violent than that? Then he carried the head around with him for a while. Put it in his tent. Became the first taxidermist of the Bible. Amen. The guy said, well, I'd like to get your address or email so I could correspond with you. I believe I could help your aggression. I said, no. Would that make me like you? No, sir. Amen. So here in 1 Samuel 21, you got David. This is after this great victory. And then he has Saul trying to kill him. And I don't understand why folks go through the things they do. But when they do, they make God makes heroes out of these folks. And the book of Psalms, and man, what we read, because David went through this. And this is one of those times, and he's traveling, he's going through Gath, and I just want to pick it up, and I'm going to pull a text out of here tonight. Amen. So don't straighten me out theologically after church, amen? 1 Samuel 21, look at verse number 8. The Bible said, and David said unto Ahimelech, and is there not here under thine hand spear or sword? For I have neither brought my sword nor my weapons with me, because the king's business required haste. Yep. And the priest said, the sword of Goliath, the Philistine, whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah. Amen. Amen. Almost sounds epic, don't it? Whom thou slewest in the valley of Elah. Dun, dun, dun. Amen. Said, behold, it is here wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod. If thou wilt take that, take it. For there is no other save that here. And here's what I want to preach. And David said, there is none like that. Amen. Give it me. Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Hey, out of all the swords that's ever been forged, yeah. Yeah. There was none forged like that sword.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, out of all the swords that's ever been in the history of man, I don't believe there's any sword as popular, as well-known as that sword.
Yeah.
Amen. Thank you. Amen. Man, come here, one of you boys. I'm going to try this out. Amen. None like that. And let me say, I wonder what that sword looked like in the hands of Goliath. Amen. I wonder how long it was.
Yeah.
If he's 9 foot tall, man, that thing probably was, I don't know, that tall. I don't know. But there was none like it.
Yeah.
And man, what it must have looked like in his hands. But you know what it did not do? It did not intimidate David.
Amen.
Amen. So what happened? Well, you know the story. David went down to the brook, amen, got him 5 smooth stones, put those stones in his crypt, amen. Those stones were pushing around, saying, I want to be the one. Let me choose me, amen. He pulled out one of those stones, put it in a sling, amen. Y'all help me out here. Come on, man. Don't leave me out here by myself. I'm in the brook waiting by myself here. Don't leave me in there. Hey, and he put one of those stones. He put it in a sling. Amen. And he come out. The Bible said he didn't walk across the field. He didn't contemplate. He didn't sit down and write out a battle plan. No, he ran across the field. He ran and took the sling. And he ran and slung it. Amen. And it sunk in his head. Man, what a victory. What a victory for the people of God. Amen. And buddy, what a sword that he picked up and hacked his head off with. Amen. There's no sword like that sword. But buddy, I'm telling you, spiritually, if we're looking now, amen, there is no sword like this sword. Hey, there's none like this. And buddy, as impressive as that sword looked in Goliath's hands, I can't imagine what it looked like in David's hand.
Yeah.
Amen. David's the one that took his sword away from him and hacked his own head off.
Amen.
Amen. And you know what David needed? He needed a sword.
Yeah.
You know what me and you needed? We needed a sword.
Yeah.
And buddy, there is none like that. Amen. And buddy, the sword that God put in your hand, amen. So what did he do? He put a sword in a shepherd boy's hand. And here we are tonight. Here we are as dumb as we are. And we've got the greatest sword ever forged. Hey, we've got the greatest book that's ever been written. There's no mistake, buddy. I'm telling you, thank God for the Word of God. What did it do for you? There's none like that. Amen. Buddy, what it did, say, what do you mean? Man, can't you remember? Can't you remember getting your first Bible? Amen. Amen. Don't you remember what you felt like, man, after you got saved and got you a fresh haircut?
Yeah,
man. Amen. Man, Dee bought me some dress clothes at the thrift store, and I had a clip-on tie.
Yeah.
Amen. My shirt was too tight, and pants was too short. I looked like Jethro Bodine. Buddy, I'll tell you what I had. I had a Jerry Falwell Bible my uncle gave me.
Yeah.
Amen. And, buddy, there's no sword like that sword.
Yeah.
And you know what it did? I started reading it, Brother Soche, and it changed my life.
Amen.
Say what? There's no sword like this sword.
Amen.
Amen. And, buddy, what it looked like, amen, to some of us Bible students. Amen. I got a picture of the 1986 graduating class from Pensacola Bible Institute. Amen. All of us dorks, dweebs. Amen. We're all sitting there, and guys have got their Bibles, and some of them's got the stickers on there. It says King James 1611.
Yeah.
Amen. We all had our fresh haircuts, and amen, probably bumper stickers on our car out in the parking lot.
Yeah.
And, buddy, here we went into the world. We're going to change the world. We're going to turn it upside down.
Yeah.
Amen. You say, well, you wasn't much. No, we ain't nothing.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you what we had in our hands.
Yeah.
Is the greatest weapon ever forged against the enemies of hell. Hey, there's no sword like this sword. There's never been anything forged. There's never been anything written that can face the forces of evil like this book. There's nothing like it. But it's why we're still here. It's why you're still married. It's why you're still in church. Thank God for the Word of God. Thank God for the Bible. Thank God He put it in our hands. Buddy, what a book. What a book. What a thing God did for us. It ain't no little thing. No, sir. No, sir. He put it in the hands of a common man and made him a king.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah, tell it.
Woo. I will when I catch my breath. There is a disadvantage of weighing 300 pounds, too. Amen. It's no sword like that.
Amen.
Amen. Historically, there's no other sword like that.
Amen.
Amen. You might have an argument for me, and I know some of you probably will, Brother Stalker.
Amen.
Amen. But Goliath's sword has got to be one of the most well-known, well-documented, well-talked-about swords that ever was. How impressive was that stone, that sword, amen. And historically, they're wrapped in a cloth behind the ephod, amen, that was that sword. And buddy, we know by history and we know by taking manuscript evidence and all that in Bible school, we learned that this sword was one day wrapped up, amen, in an ephod somewhere behind the ephod there where the priests were. And they had it chained to a pulpit. And it wasn't in the hands of an ordinary man. Amen. And it took the hands of a king. Amen. A fellow by, they tried to erase out of history. Amen. You go to the museums and try to find anything on King James, it's hard to find anything about him. You go to try to find, they'll have all the other kings, they'll have thrones of theirs and all that. But if you go back through all their museums, there's one little spot, and there's one little spot on the floor that they've given over to King James. But I'm telling you, there was no king like that one.
Amen.
Amen. And he put what's in our hands now, the very thing that changed the existence and moved this world. Amen. Don't you remember when the Great Awakening caught up with you? Amen. Great awakening in history, the dark ages of this world. Say, what happened? God's word wasn't in the hands of ordinary man. In the dark ages, and darkness fell across this land. But you know what God said? God said, I want to put that sword in some insignificant little worm. Amen. Find some little shepherd boy. Amen. Or find them. You know, I'll get them. I'll tell you where I'll get them. I'll get them out of the jailhouse. Amen. I'll find them there. I'll find the ones that are in debt. I'll find the ones that are destitute. that are down and out.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll put this sword in their hand. Yeah. Hey, I'll build my work on them.
Yeah.
But I'm here to tell you tonight, there is no sword like that sword.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. There's no book like the King James Bible.
Yeah.
This Bible changed my life. Amen. I remember when it caught up with me.
Amen.
Amen. I got a bunch of stuff wrote down here. Amen. Common man giving means to this great weapon that we have. It'll change your life. I can tell people that love it. And I can tell people from up here that ain't reading it. Your face will break out in words. You'll be shy to the things of God. Amen. Preaching don't mean much to you. You know why? You're without an offensive weapon. Amen. You're too shy. You're just weird. Amen. Why won't you shout? What happened? Man, come out of your weird little shell. Amen. Historically, there's no book. This book became the monarch of books. Amen. It's the catalyst of the Great Awakening. Amen. The Renaissance period. Light came to darkness. Say why? Because there's no sword like that sword. Hey, there's none like it. Let me say doctrinally, there's no book like this book. Amen. We are a people of a book. That's why when you mess with the book, God will mess with your mind. You watch it. You watch them. You watch them when they go hyper-dispensational. You watch them when they go hyper anything. You know what the first thing that goes? Soul winning. Hyper-Calvinists, they justify their deadness by Calvinism. Couldn't get the Spirit of God to move in your church? You couldn't do it. Say, why? You deny the very existence, hardly, of God. Amen. Man alive, all the weird stuff that's going on now. Amen. Got these guys that are Baptists, say they're independent Bible believing Baptists, preaching against the Jew. They call all of us names because we love Israel. You weirdo, you nut, internet fool. Amen. So, Brother Mark, why don't you go on there and argue with them? No, let's argue face to face. I ain't going on their turf. That's their turf.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. That's what they're good at. You go on there, they'll make you look like a fool.
Yeah.
Amen. Let's see by their fruit.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. See how many young men, young ladies they have come out of their work.
Amen.
See how many churches come out of their work.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Missionaries. Yeah. Amen. Doctrinally, there's no book like this book.
Yeah.
Amen. We believe the blood cleanses from all sin.
Yeah.
Amen. I don't know. Maybe you got weird ideas about the blood and all that. I know men have said the blood just rotted on the ground and all that. Man, I'm telling you folks, if there's anything I know is in June of 1982, I was washed from all of my sins by the blood of Jesus. By a new and living way. Amen. And say, well, I don't believe the Bible. I believe the blood is in the air and the molecules. They all shut up. Leave me alone. Amen.
Amen.
Argue over jot and tittle and all that. Man alive. We believe in the premillennial reign of Christ.
Yeah.
Amen. We are premillennialist.
Yeah.
Used to make a lot of bones about it. Nowadays, everybody's too afraid to because they don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
He's coming back on a white horse, folks. His eyes will be like a flame of fire. Out of his mouth go the sharp two-edged sword. He'll have a rod of iron in his hand. With it he shall smite the nations. He'll have a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which are in heaven follow them upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Buddy, I'm telling you what's going on one day is he's coming back to this earth on a white horse, and we're coming with him. Say, why do you say it? Because there's no sword like that sword. There's none, amen, that's coming out of his mouth even. There's no sword like that. Doctrinally, we believe in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. We don't believe that 3.5 years took place the time of Christ. We believe in Daniel's 70th week. If you want to argue about that further, Brother Glenn Stocker will be at Brother Ryman's after church. He's wrote a thesis on it in a book, and he'll straighten you out in a matter of moments. Unless you're so hard-headed, you're going to take somebody else's word over the word of God. I'm not going to base what I believe on geocentricity. I'm going to base what I believe on this sword. And you see him, kick him for me. Amen. We believe in the deity of Jesus Christ. We believe in the doctrine of the local church. If you ain't church, you ain't right. Amen. Used to be, man, we tried to do what the church taught, what it did. Amen. Used to have church covenants. Used to have the bylaws of the church covenant. Used to post them in the church. We'll restrain from alcohol, the use of tobacco. Amen. And we believe, amen, what the Bible says. We're old-fashioned. Amen. We believe you come in with long hair, you're a rebel. You've been dabbling in things you ought not to dabble in. We believe you ought to get right with God. We got Nate, he'll cut your hair tonight. You know why you won't? Get right with God. There's no sword like that sword. Amen. Maybe we could cut it with this. You had to know. Amen. We believe in a local church. There's none like that. How about spiritually? What did it do for you? Did it change your life? Say, how about our marriage? Good night. How long do you have? How long? Amen. Some of our marriages, do you understand what it was like B.C.? Before Christ? I remember, I tell it all the time, but I remember Christmas time. You say, we don't do Christmas. That's because you're weird. You're a Jehovah Witness. We don't believe in Santa Claus. Well, can we have Frosty? Can we make a deal? Least Frosty, man. Snowman, least him. Some ain't laughing. Rudolph may be pushing it. But Yukon Cornelius, he's cool, ain't he? But I remember me and my little wife, we got married, we was 18. And our first Christmas, we lived in an efficiency apartment. If you don't know what an efficiency apartment is, that means you can sit on the bed and brush your teeth in the bathroom. Or you can roll over on the other side of the bed, or you can cook you something to eat at the stove. Sitting on the bed. But I remember waking up on Christmas morning, and we woke up in an old stupor, and our life, I don't want to go into detail or anything like that, but I woke up, it was Christmas morning, and I woke up hearing my little wife crying. I said, what's wrong with you? And she said, it's Christmas. She said, this ain't right. This ain't right at all. Yeah. Yeah. And I said, I didn't have nothing to say. And she said, my mama, they're having Christmas. your mama's having Christmas. She said, look at us. You say, what was that? No God. No family. No nothing. Amen. And one of the first Christmases we had after got saved. Amen. One of the first times we ever had Christmas was at Dr. Ruppman's house. Amen. He had a tree. I hate to dash you all against the rocks. But we opened gifts there at his house. Amen. And you say, what happened? This book came along. Changed our lives. Amen. Who would ever thought? Who would ever thunk it? If my wife sings that song, if you'd have known, if you'd have knew where Jesus brought us from, you'd understand why we praise him. If you only knew. Amen. What I'm trying to say is there's no sword like that sword. There's no book like that book. I've seen God put homes together. I get to do one of the greatest. I have the greatest job in the world. Amen. It's not even a job. I don't even feel like it's a job. Amen. God has been good to me. Amen. I've seen families put together. Homes put together. Kids saved. I was telling them Sunday morning, we had a little, we was at camp last week and had 8 saved, 4 adults, and had a little Filipino girl get saved. And this gal, I'm telling you, she hit the altar, and she didn't care who was there. Amen. She didn't have nobody take the Bible and lead her or nothing. She hit the altar going, oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, God, I'm sorry. Oh, God, I trust you. I believe in you. You're going to save me. I don't want you to save me. Man, out loud, all of us were bawling. We got done after that service. I said, you want to go into evangelism with me? I'll take you everywhere I go. Been certain times like that. I remember Brother Stockers one year. He'll remember this. He had a black fellow there. Where was he from?
Ivory Coast.
And he had gotten saved, and he was hanging around with a bunch of guys that wasn't right with God. And they had talked him into going out doing some things. And we come there and started a revival meeting. And, buddy, you could tell he was sitting towards the back. And he got under conviction. He was crying. He was wiping tears. An invitation come. Here he come. Man, he come running down the altar and slid. Brother Glenn's got them benches there in his church. And he slid underneath the bench and he grabbed it like that. And he was holding it with his feet under it going, I am sorry. Lord, forgive me. I am sorry. God, forgive me. I am sorry. Man, I'm telling you, I looked around. There wasn't a dry eye in the church. You say, what does that? There's no sword like that sword. I don't know what you give. I don't know what you give for this, but I've had little gals. We had a gal in the Philippines come to me, and she wrote me a little note. I wish I had it with me. And she wrote me a little note, and she goes, Dear Pastor, said, I am a pastor's daughter. And said, the other day, I climbed up to the top of my school building, 4 stories tall. And she said, I stood on the edge to jump and to kill myself. She said, I didn't do it, but I've come to camp, and after camp, I was going to kill myself. And she said, but today, I've gotten saved.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And we had a service there, Brother Howie, last year in May. We had 65 kids saved. I have never seen it on that fashion. Amen. I've never seen it like that. Amen. It wasn't a mass going out and bringing people. These are all church kids. We had 120 kids. Most of them have been saved by that easy believism. Repeat after me. And buddy, I'm telling you, God moved in. We had an invitation that lasted 4 hours. We were leading kids to Christ. I was laying on my side like this on the floor going, do you believe you're a sinner? You believe? Man, I was 3 or 4 at a time, had 60 get saved. I was completely shot. I was completely drained. They poured me into the bed at night. Amen. They say, what is that? There is no sword like this sword. Amen. You say, well, I hadn't seen anything like that in a while. Well, you better get in the fight, man. Amen. Homes put together. Great revivals. I haven't seen a whole lot of it, but I've seen it. I'm a revivalist. I can't help it. It's in my blood. Amen. And we've seen it. We've seen it. I remember going to Urbana Baptist Church when there's 30 people there. And I remember our first camp that we had, revival. And the high schools would call Brother Jim and say, you got anything going on this weekend? You got revival or anything? Because we want to make sure, because if you got anything, all those kids, they're going to be at your church instead of the school. Amen. And kids getting right with God and parents and folks come to you and say, Brother Mark, I don't know if you remember me, but you was preaching and I trusted Christ as my Savior. There ain't nothing like it.
Amen.
There's no sword like this sword. Now tonight, I'll tell you what I'd love to see you do. I'd love to see you take this old book that you got with you there, your sword, amen, and bring it down to an old-fashioned altar and just lay it out there in front of you, amen, and pray God to renew, amen, you in that book. Start reading it like you should. Amen. I've had to stay in motels before without my wife. And Brother Soche and these other guys know this. You will. I've had to sleep with it.
That's right.
I've had to pull the blankets and covers over my head and sleep with it. I got in a place one night and had an evil spirit come in the room. I got in there and about 3 o'clock in the morning, I shot up in the bed and I went, ah, you can see the wind, you can see my breath in my room where I was staying. And this voice goes, who are you? And I grabbed my Bible and I said, I ain't nobody. I said, but I'm washed in the blood of Jesus. And I got my King James Bible. Amen. You better leave me alone. And I hugged it up there next to me, babe. And boy, after a couple of minutes, I went, and it's gone. It's back to room temperature again. There ain't no sword like that sword. Ain't none like it. Amen. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Maybe you bring your book.